First of all, ladies, gentlemen, whoever did it, thank you for the good food. A great fellowship that we had. Now, I don't know what Tim expects out of me. How in the world am I going to keep y'all awake after a good meal like that? There's a preacher preaching one time, I know you've heard this, and he saw a guy asleep. He told somebody, wake him up. They told the preacher, you wake him up, you put him to sleep. So sometimes when I preach and mom or dad want to come carrying a little one out that I put out sound asleep, I said, you'll probably want some of my CD sermons, wouldn't you? I said, because if the baby's cut up, just play them one of my sermons. And that way it'll put them out. Not just does it work on a little one sometimes, I've seen it work on adults. Yeah, so that's the way it goes when you're preaching. Now, work hard to get your friends and loved ones to come. And like Tim said at the end, if there's questions, we'll deal with them after the sermon. And if they want to have a Bible study, we'll do that. So here's an opportunity for you to get your friends and loved ones exposed to the Word of God. Who knows? Like I said earlier, this might be the opportunity that God has set up for them to hear the truth one more time. Did Jesus lie? Now, when I told R.D. and DeLee what I was going to be preaching on, she said, oh, this is a continuation of the Bible study. I said, that's exactly right. So that's what this is. Matter of fact, there's a point or two that's the same, and I'll probably just skip them, and we'll go on since we went over them earlier. Now, I want you to notice, if you will, Proverbs 30, verse number 6. It says, add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. Now, we say this on Arise to Truth, that we'd like to call some of the denominational preachers back from the dead if we had the ability, put them on Arise to Truth and let them speak. They'd tell you in a heartbeat, faith only won't save. Denying water baptism won't save. Arguing that one church is just as good as another will damn your soul. I'd love to put them on live radio and let them comment. And somebody's lying, folks. Here's what we do when we teach our young girls down at the prison or jail. Here's where I want you. If I say all you got to do to be saved is stand on this table, you know what I want to hear come out of your mouth? Show it to me in the Bible and I'll believe it. And that's where we got to get them. It's where you got to be. It's where I got to be. I'll do it if you show me Bible authority for it. If you can't show me Bible authority for it, I'm not interested in doing it. And so now we got them to where they're at that point. We was at McDonald's, Kay, my mom and I, the other day, and I was cutting up with the girl that was waiting on us. And she said, I know you. I said, you know me? Yeah. I looked at her, I said, were you in one of my classes? And I pointed toward the jail. Yep. And since I've gotten out, I've read the Bible through 3 times. I got a bunch of questions, and I want to study with you. I said, well, that's great. So I gave her one of my business cards, and I said, now call me, and we'll study. So we got to take advantage of opportunities as they are afforded us. Now, is Jesus the author of confusion? In 1 Corinthians 14:33, for God and Jesus' deity is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. Now, you mean to tell me that Jesus Christ is trying to teach in one church, denominational church, faith only saves, in another church, come to the mourner's bench to be saved. In another church, you got to have the baptism of the Holy Spirit to be saved. And on we could go. Do you realize now There are 45,000 different religious groups claiming to follow Christianity. No wonder atheism has grown more lately than ever before. Jesus prayed for unity, that the world might believe thou hast sent me. You see, we got to be unified in teaching God's word. See, when one concludes that all these different churches comprise God's family, then you've got the biggest family feud that I've ever seen. They won't fellowship one another. They won't help one another. And yet they claim to be the children of God. Now, men say the kingdom has not been established. Well, either men are lying or Jesus Christ is. And we covered this point. So I'm going to skip it except to say that Jesus said in his lifetime there were people there that would not taste of death till they saw the kingdom of God come with power. We got people today, so-called educated people, that says that we evolved from an ape-like creature. Now I want you to think about what has happened since that is being promoted in our school system. I never heard of a drive-by shooting when I was growing up. A school shooting. Do you realize that we had people that would come to Red Bank High School, where I went to school, driving their daddy's pickup truck with a gun rack in the back of the pickup truck with guns across the gun rack? We didn't think a thing about that. Every young man I knew there carried a knife. We all had a knife. Well, what makes the difference? When you say that you evolved from an ape-like creature, and you convince people of that, and there's no absolute moral code, then why shouldn't a person drink if they want to drink, use drugs if they want to use drugs, fornicate if they want to fornicate, kill if they want to kill? That's trying to line up a debate with an atheist. And I got him on live radio. And I said, is there any difference between killing a cow and killing a human being? He said, absolutely not. Can you imagine that? Now you wonder why we have these shootings in schools, and we got a tremendous security system at the congregation where I preach. We have people watching doors armed. We've never had any trouble. But isn't it sad you got to do that? We have a man that's got a hearing device. He walks around the building while I'm preaching, and he listens to the sermon, checks the parking lot. He says, that's where you got to catch them, in the parking lot before they get in your building. And he's been on security teams other places. And we got a police officer that's a member there, and he's really worked with us on it. But it's sad that you can't even let your children play in the front yard anymore. Somebody kidnap them. I mean, it's amazing. Why, when I was growing up, we was all over the neighborhood. Did whatever we wanted to do, and we didn't worry about it. You know why? People respected the fact there's a God in heaven, whether they obeyed God or not, totally. And they realized one day they were going to answer to him. Jeffrey Dahmer said, and he later became a member of the church. Jeffrey Dahmer said, the reason I did what I did, and he killed people and ate them. The reason I did what I did was because I was taught there's no God to whom I had to give an answer. Now, buddy, when you teach people that, they're going to act any way they want to act. But I want you to notice what the Bible says. And you tell me, did Jesus lie? Now, keep in mind, the Bible makes the argument Jesus created everything in John 1:1-3. And God said, let us make man in our own image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. You teach your children, your grandchildren, They're made in a very special way, and they need to respect life because they're made in God's image, and you watch it make a difference in their life. See, that's what we got to do. Jesus did not lie. Watch this. In Matthew 19, 4 and 5, he answered and said unto them, "Have you not read?" Now that's the problem. A lot of people don't read their Bible. "Have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female?" Now not male and male. Not female and female. He didn't create Adam and Steve. He created Adam and Eve to get married. Notice, it says, "He which made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, For this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh." Notice, Jesus Christ said mankind did not evolve, but mankind was made. I had a denominational person come into the White Oak Church of Christ where I was preaching, and he was very scientific. And so he wanted to know if I'd study with him about the origin of man. I said, "Well, sure." Now, he claimed to believe the Word of God. He is from a denominational church. And so he comes carrying a bunch of scientific books in, going to prove evolution. And he laid them down on my desk. And I said, "Now, David, I appreciate science. I'm an electrician, and the only way that stuff works is to be scientifically correct. I believe in science with all my heart. But the final standard in this study is going to be the Bible, what the Word of God says." So he was trying to figure out who Cain and Abel married. So he came up with this concept that God allowed another group of people to evolve, you know, across the way, so Cain and Abel could run into them and get married. Now, I want to show you some things wrong with that. Number one, it's just flat out against the Word of God. If you're going to believe the Bible, if I'm going to believe the Bible, we got to believe what the Bible says, how we got here. You need to listen to somebody that was there. God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit were there. And they know how you and I came to be. We were created in God's image. So I said, open up one of those science books where it shows the gradual evolution of man. He did. I said, "Now, David, I'm going to come down through this scale, these figures of almost men or whatever, and when you think that individual changed from an ape-like creature to a man, you stop me, and I don't care where you stop me." So we're going down through there, and he said, "Stop." I said, "Okay." So I held my finger there. "These people over here are not human." That's right. "These people over here are." Right. I said, "There's only two ways they could have got here. Birth or transformation." And you claim to be scientific. Now, birth means that two ape-like creatures gave rise to a human being. They brought forth a human being. Now, that's not scientific. Everything brings forth after its own kind. Or an ape-like creature was walking through the woods and for reasons unknown turned into a human being. Kind of like the Incredible Hulk turning back in to David Banner. You know, something along that line. And you don't buy into that, do you? No? Well, you name a third way. There is no third way. It's either birth or transformation. Now, I said, let me show you what's wrong. Let's say two ape-like creatures did give birth to a little human being. Now, how's mom and dad going to bring a human being with a soul up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord when they don't even have one? The little baby can go to heaven, but mom and dad and grandparents can't. Do you believe God put us in that dilemma? He finally had to give it up. See, you and I need to be able to sit down and reason with people about these subjects. Well, men say one can be saved without being baptized. Well, I want you to notice that the Great Commission was given. Go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Then Jesus said another part of the Great Commission: "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. These preachers that call the radio program, I say, I want to ask you about Mark 16:16. Do you believe it? Oh, yeah. Yeah. So you believe, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Oh, no, I don't believe that. Well, that's what the verse says. They turn it around. He that believeth is saved can be baptized later if he wants to be baptized. That's not Bible. Now, either mankind is lying to you or Jesus Christ is a liar. Well, Jesus Christ is not a liar. Well, men say faith in Christ is not essential to salvation. I've got a first cousin that's bought into that, which says that God, before the foundation of the world, chose X number of people to be saved and X number of people to go to hell without any consideration of anything they did or did not do. And I begged him, prove that you're in the elect class. I said, if you'll debate this publicly, I'll put you in the non-elect class and you can't get out. There's no way in the world you can get out. See, you and I can get out by simply realizing we have a need. We're sinners, for all have sinned, come short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23, and we need to obey the gospel in order to be saved. But now watch this. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You do what I say. John 8:24, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. Now let me back this up. I want to show you something else. When I was going to debate on live radio a Catholic, I decided I'd go visit some Catholic priest. And I have witnesses I took with me on this. So I'm in the home of a Catholic priest, and I say to him, you think a good Muslim will be saved? Oh, yeah. You think a good Buddhist will be saved? Yeah. You think a good Hindu will be saved? Yes. I said, sir, they don't believe in Jesus Christ. Well, I'm not going to say that you got to believe in Christ to be saved. That's what he said. Well, I thought I'd see how far I could push him. I said, do you believe a good atheist can be saved? Well, yeah. I said, an atheist can be saved? He said, let me qualify that. If he's good to his wife and his pets. I said, what's that got to do with it? He said, how would he know to be good to his wife and his pets if he didn't love God? That's ridiculous. Look, a man can be as good as he can possibly be to his wife, his children, and his little dog Rover. But if he don't obey the gospel of Christ, he's going to be lost. And that's what that said. All right, once saved, always saved. We got people that believe that. And they believe that once you become a child of God, you can't be lost. Now, that's their view. Lord, what's yours? In Matthew 13:41-42, it says, the Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Even out of his kingdom, some people are going to be lost. Judas Iscariot denied our Lord, according to John 17:12, and the Lord said, none have I lost save the son of perdition. And then he said concerning Judas Iscariot, it would have been better for that man had he had never been born. Well, if once saved, always saved is true, and by the way, these same people argue if you got the Holy Spirit, you're saved. I challenge you to read Matthew chapter 10, where those men, the apostles, went forth and worked miracles. Then about verse 20, I believe it is, when the Lord said, when you're brought before rulers, don't worry about what to say. It shall be given you what will be said by the Spirit. Well, he had the Holy Spirit. At one point, he worked miracles. At one point, but he wound up lost. Well, we have people saying John the Baptist established the church. Well, that's what men say. Lord, what do you say? Now watch this. John the Baptist was killed in chapter 14 of Matthew. Two chapters later, the church has not been established. Notice it says, and he sent and beheaded John in the prison, and his head was brought in a charger and given to the damsel, and she brought it to her mother. All right, John's dead. But two chapters later, and I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build, future tense, my church, singular, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, if John established the church, folks, it wasn't paid for, because Acts 20:28 said Jesus died for it. If John established the church, it had no head. See, Jesus Christ is the head, had no foundation, had no doctrine. What would have been the doctrine? Jesus had to die for his doctrine, according to Matthew 26:28, Hebrews 9:16-17. John did not establish the church. Jesus Christ established the church. He said, I will build. And that's what he did. Well, we got men saying there's no hell. But what does Jesus say? By the way, we got some members of the church saying that there's no hell. What did Jesus say? Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Now watch this, Matthew 25:46. And these should go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Now if there's not everlasting punishment, and the Lord said there is, how do you know there's everlasting life? And the Lord said there is. So there is everlasting punishment, a place of torment. Then watch this. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. By the way, you know, in the book of Hebrews, we're told that those who sinned under the first law died. Then we're told, how much sore punishment suppose ye that ye shall endure if you deny, in essence, the Christ? Well, we can know the time of the second coming, we're told. As a matter of fact, I had a lady call the radio program saying that Jesus Christ would come back September 1st, 1:23 p.m. And I said, Sandy, on September 2nd, can I have your home? She had a beautiful home. I'd been there to study with her. Why, sure, I won't be needing it. On September 2nd, whatever money you got in the bank, can I have it? Well, yeah, I'll be gone. On September 2nd, I love your Jeep Cherokee. Can I have your Jeep Cherokee? Yeah, you can have it. I won't be needing it anymore. So a lady after I got through talking to her called and, Weston, please, please don't take her stuff. I said, I'm not interested in taking her stuff. I was just trying to see how sure she was that she had the right answer. So I know exactly where I was September the 1st, 1989. I was watching the clock praying for Sandy. Well, about 2 weeks later, after September the 1st, I'm doing the live program again. She calls in. And I said, Sandy, where are you calling from? This is not long distance, is it? It's not collect, I hope. She said, don't be a smart aleck. I said, well, I'm not trying to be a smart aleck, but I am trying to make a point. You're not supposed to be here. And I said, there's one reason. I knew you was wrong, and I told you when you called. Nobody knows the time according to our Lord. And he did not lie. In Matthew 24:36, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Then in Mark 13:32, but of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Now, I pressed her on those before she ever went too far. And she was talking about the rapture. I said, the Bible don't even speak of a rapture like you have brought up. You know why she reached that conclusion? She was up on the roof doing something at her home, looked down in the grass, and there was September 1st, 1989, carved out in the grass. And when I went up to study with her, she had a picture of it from the roof of her house on her refrigerator. She said, "What if it didn't mean it was for the second coming rapture, what could it mean?" Well, it might mean that you need to make a house payment on September 1st. Or it could be you need to cut the grass. I said, "How come you concluded it meant the rapture when the Bible don't even mention the rapture? You look at something on the grass and believe something on the grass over what the Word of God says. You got to believe the Word of God." Now, we have those that teach the earth will not pass away. By the way, there's two groups in the Lord's church now teaching that. That amazes me. Listen to the Word of God. Here's what Jesus said. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. I had two Jehovah's Witnesses come to my door, a mother and a daughter. And they knocked on my door and I went. And I thanked them. The first thing I did, I thank you for caring for my soul. That you come here to talk to me about my soul. Now, they really don't believe you got one, but I thanked them. And I usually always invite them in, try to get them to study with me. And they said, "You know, we're going to live forever here on earth." I said, "Well, that's funny. Jesus Christ said heaven and earth would pass away, but my words would never pass away. How do you explain that?" Both of them backed up about 2 feet as if though I was going to hit them. I don't think they had ever heard that. And I told them where they could find it in their Bible. I said, "You don't want to be here when everything is over, because 2 Peter 3 says everything is going to melt with fervent heat. You don't want to be here." Well, here the same group says that man does not have a soul. Well, either men are lying or the Lord's lying. In Mark 8, 36, 37, "What shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall man give in exchange for his soul?" Then in Matthew 10, 28, now this is really scary here. "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul." Now watch this, I want you to get this. "But rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Those who go to hell are going to have a body. You ever thought about that? Wouldn't it be great to have a body that would last forever? Yes, if you're in the right place. Not if you go to hell, where there's going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth.